Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Ayo,
it's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Paul Skeens is starting the All-Star game, despite my suggestions. Kawhi is off Team USA, I believe Z had that. Woo. And the Liberty and Angel Reese's streak. But we begin today's show with bad blood between the Yankees and the Orioles after Holmes beans Kjerstad in the head on Friday night. So, Z, who are you siding with on this?
Well, you never want to see a guy hit in the head. You know, it's, you know, it's one of those places where you generally don't want to hit somebody. You know, back in the day, you had your Pedro Martinez's, you had your headhunters, and they would send a message. Now, this was not an attempt to intimidate. This was not an attempt to get any sort of retribution for being shown up. You know, the usual bullshit that comes along with headhunting and the wolf tickets that are usually baseball fights. The last true baseball fight where punches were actually thrown and it looked like a legitimate fight. In the back, you got to reach way back to Yankees Orioles, 1998. Armando Benitez drills Tino Martinez square in the back after giving up a home run. That's a bench clearing brawl, a bullpen clearing brawl. Daryl Strawberry gets sucker punched, somehow ending up in the Oriole dugout. That was a fucking fight. Like, those two teams hated each other. And it was even weirder when Armando Benitez became a Yankee. It's like, hey, guys, I guess I'm your teammate now. Please be nice to me. But Clay Holmes, I can't believe it was intentional. I can't believe that Clay Holmes is going up 97 at the bean of Heston Kjerstad in the ninth inning. For what? Absolutely for what? Now, it's also raining. Clay Holmes doesn't have the best control in the world. So, it stands to reason that it got away from him. Brandon Hyde absolutely escalated this beyond what it was. Yes, his player got hit in the head. Maybe some of the Yankees were talking or saying or chirping, and that rubbed him the wrong way. But for him to storm out and, like, go past Austin Wells and then get in Austin Wells' face, and then you're supposed to be the fucking adult. You're the manager. You're the adult. You're the one who's supposed to have the cool head. That's your job. The players can be as feisty as they want to be. You're the one who needs to be the mature, calming voice here. And you just escalated it. You ratcheted it up for no reason. I get it. Dan Clark on X has the list. It's like 9 Orioles have been hit compared to the 4 Yankees. And I understand that. Having lived through the imbalance of Yankees-Red Sox, where the Yankees seem to get plunked all the time and the Red Sox never got moved off the plate, I completely understand where that's coming from. And your frustration is boiling over. Both of your teams stink right now. You know, the Yankees are feeling a little bit better about themselves, having taken 2 out of 3, I mean, and losing in amazing fashion. On the, I don't even know what the hell Alex Verdugo was thinking on that fly ball. It's an easy fly ball. Catch the fucking ball. Bullshit. Why was he in that far? Like, I was talking, we follow Jeff Fry, former Major League Baseball player on X, and he was saying, like, why are you in that far? Like, a single wins the game. So it doesn't matter. If it's on the ground, you're not throwing him out. It's not a forced play at the plate. It's not going to happen. So you got to make sure nothing goes over your head. And Alex Verdugo broke in, stumbled, fell flat on his stomach, and that's all she wrote. That was Sunday. That was the game that the Orioles won. and you can say it was a gift from the Yankees. But both teams are in the crapper right now. They're, strangely enough, they're the second and third best team in the American League, behind the Cleveland Guardians, I believe. But I believe that I'm siding with the Yankees on this one. I gotta think that Brandon Hyde overreacted, was trying to spark his team, and ultimately it didn't really work either.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Brandon Hyde thing is really just frustration. You know, his team's playing like shit. We're heading into the dog days of summer. They really need a veteran on that team to help them out. But let's talk about Holmes for a second. He has control issues, right?
Yes, yes.
The team is 6-16 in their last 22. Okay? No, they're not trying to hit him in the head and send a message. They're not trying to intimidate you, dude. He can't throw strikes. He can't get people out. We talked about this.
Yes.
Surprisingly, he's an all-star. That just tells you how much fucking talent there is on the American League side.
That's fucking all-star Clay Holmes to you.
Right. And I think, if anything, this showed the Yankees, it should show the Yankees that they cannot go into August and September thinking this guy is going to save games for them. Because if you thought Friday was bad, Sunday was even worse when he fucking walked people. Then people start making errors, and then there you go. Oh, shit. And then they lose. They should have swept the Orioles, and sweeping the Orioles would have given them first place, which is another kick in the dick. So, no. This was not personal. It's terrible that it happens, and it's always extremely dangerous, you know, when someone gets hit in the head, and it's no joke. And you can get upset about it, but he didn't do it on purpose. He lost control. He can't fucking pitch. So you just got to chalk it up to, like, dude, just throw strikes. Just throw strikes, okay? Forget about trying to throw it hard. You can't throw it hard. Just throw strikes.
That's the thing. He's got a spray chart. They put up a spray chart of his sinkers, and there was only one up in that area. So he's got some idea of where it's going. He's a little nuke-la-louche here. He's going to hit the fucking bull next to, you know, that's the next
move. I don't know what they do. I know they're talking about getting the third baseman. They're talking about moving Heel to the bullpen. But they really got to figure out the closer situation, because it's just not going to work. You could go by committee. I don't think Chapman's the answer. Texas ain't going to give up Robertson, so
Texas might give up Robertson, but I don't know if the Yankees are willing to do that again. But here's an interesting one. Mason Miller. That's the thing. Like, you have the Oakland A's stud closer, and the Yankees have been fleeced multiple times by the A's. Granted, like, ultimately, it hasn't really worked out for guys like Frankie Montas. Hasn't worked out for Sonny Gray. And at the time, like, the prospect load that you're getting for these guys from going from the Yankees to the A's, it's a lot of prospects. And then, like, the fleecing in terms of the number, but not fleecing in terms of quality. They have had trades that don't work out for anybody. The trades,
who's this?
Both the Yankees and the A's, in the Sonny Gray trade and the Frankie Montas trade. Neither trade worked out.
How you like Frankie Montas fucking?
You put the ass in Montas.
Down. He shut them down last time he pitched against them, though. That was pretty funny.
I think he wanted, you know, he wanted to prove a point.
Just like that was crazy.
Just like Sonny Gray when he came back with Minnesota.
Wait,
he was pitching
well. Can we talk about Dave Robertson for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about David Robertson.
Yes. Guess what his career earnings are through 2024. Take a guess. He's paid for 8 teams. That's a big surprise. He's a good guy to use on the grid.
That is a
guess at what his career earnings are.
$24 million.
He has made almost $100 million.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's at $93 million.
For what?
In his 14-year career.
That's wild, man.
Isn't that fucking wild?
That's
that blew
crazy.
My mind today when I was looking that shit up. I forgot he was a Philly. I remember him going to the White Sox. I forgot he was a Cub. He was a Cub for a minute.
He was
Dude's
a Met.
Been around.
Yeah, Yeah, no,
he's
yeah.
He's been around.
He was a Marlin. Like he was at one point. He was a Marlin.
He's closing in on. He's closing in $100 million.
That's insane. That's crazy. Well, we know where that. I mean, Philly had to have overpaid him. That's the only team that. I mean, because he was on a buy low deal for the Mets, so he was only making a like chump
gave
change.
Him 10 mil 1 year, 6 million another year, 2 million another year.
Yeah, that's about 20 mil.
Gave him close to 20 mil.
About 20 mil, yeah. I mean, the Yankees, it would be smart of them to inquire as to what it would take to get him. You may have to, if you were the Yankees, and I don't know if you necessarily want to do this.
White Sox gave him the most. White Sox almost gave him $30 million.
And then they traded him back to the Yankees with Todd Frazier.
They sure did.
Yeah, hey. Shit.
They sure did.
And Tommy Canley. Like, what the hell? What the hell? Oh, my God. Good job, White Sox.
He's got deferred money until he's 46, and he worked out this deal himself. He's self-repped.
Smart man.
Bravo.
He's a very smart man.
Bravo.
And he negotiated that High Sox for Hope thing. So, you know, he's a very business-savvy guy.
I think his wife is pretty, too.
She's definitely in on the High Sox for Hope thing too. I believe she co-organized or if not organized it all together. So he's a good guy. And underrated pitcher. I mean, maybe not so much financially, but on the field, I'd say he's underrated.
You know, I think the problem with him is like, dude, are you a closer? Are you not a closer? I mean, what are you? Are you a setup man? We know you get people out. But I think that's what ultimately the problem was with him. Like
when
people didn't really trust him to close games.
The funny thing is that when he was a Yankee, like he resembled Clay Holmes out there. Like he pulled that Houdini act every single day. You didn't know if he was going to be able to get out of it. Miraculously, he did. Clay Holmes is not that lucky. So I mean, maybe a reunion with David Robertson would be good. But if looking at the Yankees, I'm like.
Give me Holmes.
Yeah.
You mean Clay Holmes? Yeah. Yeah, he's closing today.
He's pitching the back, not Parkman.
He walks the right.
The vile thing. The grab your throat and choke thing. Oh, my God. But, I think the Yankees are going to have to absorb like a Max Scherzer contract to get him. I think it's going to be one of those weird things because they could use starting rotation help as well. Max, you know, dead arm Scherzer is going to be there in September. So it's only a matter of time. But the Rangers, they still have a couple weeks. They're fully intending on selling. So,
you think so?
I think so. I think they're fully intending on getting out from under some of these contracts. Because, I mean, it is onerous. They took on the Mets money. You know, so they're paying for the Mets mistakes to a certain degree. And if they could get out from under, I'm sure Chris Young would love to do that. The only problem is he's not going to be able to get like a Spencer Jones for, you know, David Robertson. He probably couldn't get a Spencer Jones type prospect for David Robertson anyway. Because, I mean, you're looking at David Robertson, he's what, 40? Dude's about to retire.
39.
Yeah, the dude's going to retire. He's not going to, you know, he could test the free agent market, but more than likely he's going to hang him up. So I don't think you're going to be getting a top flight prospect when you move him. So it's going to be some level of absorbing a contract. But I definitely expect him to get moved. And, you know, the Mason Miller thing is interesting because the A's want the sun, the moon, and the stars for him. And, yeah, I just don't think that's going to move the needle right now. I don't think teams are going to be inclined to do three or four top-level prospects for a closer. I mean, I get he's under team control. He's arbitration eligible. He's a cost-effective player right now, but it's one inning a game. That's very rich for one inning a game.
Yeah, well, moving on to... More pitching news. Paul Skeens will now be starting the All-Star game for the National League. Over Chris Sale, all over Suarez, over a whole slew of guys who really have earned their way to be in the All-Star game this year. Is this too much too soon?
Well, not really, considering the fact that Chris Sale, not pitching. Ranger Suarez, not pitching. Max Fried has come on.
Suarez is out too? I knew Sale was out.
Yeah, Suarez is out too. So Christopher Sanchez and Max Fried are replacing Chris Sale and Ranger Suarez. So yeah, they're out. So I don't see what the problem is at this point now. Like, you know, is it too much too soon? I think it is personally. Now, we put up an X poll at Fade Route DNZ, and it was split. It was surprisingly split, 50-50. That some people think it's too soon, and other people think that they want more Paul Skeens. Is it that they want more Paul Skeens, or do they want more Libby Dunn? I don't know. But, you know, he has certainly, in 11 starts, he's 5-0. Like, he's close to 2, if not a sub-2 ERA. The kid's a goods. Like, he was pitching 7 no-hit innings with 11 strikeouts against the Brewers in his last start before the All-Star game. So this is not doubting his talent. What my concern is that they're going to carry Wood this kid. That's my major concern, is that it's going to be too much, too soon, and then he's going to wreck his arm. Because, yeah, he allegedly throws a changeup, but everything is hard. Absolutely everything is hard. So that's my concern for him. But at this point, it is absolutely an exhibition, one that I'm not tuning in to see. He's going to probably pitch an inning, and there's your Paul Skeen show.
Well, they're really excited to see him play or pitch against Judge. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking forward to seeing. I mean, for me, I feel better about it today than I did last week. I mean, if you're telling me Sale is out and you're telling me Ranger Suarez is out, then I'm okay with it. I definitely don't think he should be starting. I definitely don't think Max Fried should be starting over him. That's for sure.
No, damn sure.
It's just a shame that Sale is out. I mean, I'm not saying it's bullshit. I'm just wondering, like, how much of it is these guys, older guy who has arm trouble, who's like, you know what? I don't want to pitch in the All-Star game. I did it already. I don't really feel like, especially it's an exhibition. I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't give a fuck. And for Suarez, I really would like to see him. Like, I haven't gotten to see him pitch as much as I'd like to have, especially since he is in the NL East. But I would have liked to see him pitch. Paul Skeens is going to have his time. He's going to have his day. I just know that people like Sale, people like Suarez have been working hard for it.
I would argue that Ronaldo Lopez deserves it. He's the National League leader in ERA. I believe he's the Major League leader in ERA. So that guy's been kind of toiling in mediocrity. Why not give Ronaldo Lopez the nod? This may be the only All-Star game that Ronaldo Lopez ever goes to. Like, what about a guy like Tyler Glasnow? Like, Tyler Glasnow, I would say, is more than deserving. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we need to be mindful. And maybe this is just us. You know, we're very, you know, baseball is kind of life or death for us. You know, that's how we were raised. This particular part of the season is all about entertainment. It is independent of the season. So if they want to make this a giant television show with the red carpet and all the hoopla, I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, one day there's going to be a 7-inning concert. Like, instead of Shakira at Copa America or, you know, Miley Cyrus at the Super Bowl, potentially, you know, like, okay, 7-inning stretch now. Here's Metallica. It's just going to be, yeah, it's going to be a full-on friggin' circus at some point. So I think it's time for us. I know you embrace it more than I do. You embrace the entertainment side of baseball
more than I do. I don't know. I think it's fun to see Skeens up against Judge. I do think it's fun to see some of the guys you don't normally see play against each other. I do think these players care a little bit more than others. It doesn't take a lot to compete at a high level in a baseball game. I don't think the guy playing third base or the guy playing second base, I don't think they're worried about getting hurt in this game. So it allows them to go all out, play hard, do their best. Especially, like, they don't want to get embarrassed. They don't want to strike out against Skeens. They don't want to strike out against Fried. Like, they want to show, like, their conference, or they want to show their fans that they are the best. Where I think in other sports and other All-Star games, guys hold back. I mean, we know the NBA is a joke.
Yeah. The NHL's turned into a 3-on-3 tournament.
I think hockey, for the most part, they respect the game. but I do agree that they probably don't go as hard as they should.
But they do stuff that they do stuff in the NHL All-Star game that they would do on a breakaway in a regular season game. What you see in the NBA, abso-friggin-lutely not. Like the 360 dunks and like passing off the backboard and stuff like that, you don't see that in a game. I mean, baseball, like you kind of have to play straight up, right? Like there's really no gimmick to it.
Right, right. So that's why I do enjoy it. And I also enjoy the home run derby. I don't like all the rules and all the different formatting we're doing this year, Rob. But I do appreciate watching the long ball, watching guys hit it far. I do enjoy that part. And I do like the NHL skills competition. That's a lot of fun. I'm not a big fan of the NBA and anything they do All Star Weekend. I think it's all just trash.
I would actually be inclined. And I put this up on X yesterday because we follow Greatest Show on Dirt, and this guy is fantastic. If you're listening, we'd love to have you on. But he was talking about how Major League Baseball needs to incorporate a skills competition. Could you imagine having the best catchers in the league to try and see who had the fastest pop time on a runner trying to steal second base? Like something like that. Or who had the strongest arm? Who, you know, kind of like NFL quarterback club. Who can hit a target from right field to like third base or to home plate? Something like that. Like I think that, or the even the in the futures game, they were doing a bunt derby. It was like darts but with bunting. Like that's kind of cool.
The arm thing is tough, Z, because somebody can really get hurt playing around like that. You could tear your ACL. You could tear your ACL doing that. You could tear your rotator cuff doing like something like that. They're not going to ever go to a skills competition like that. Maybe you could do something where people like field grounders and try to hit buckets and stuff like that, but not throwing from the outfield. That's too much of a stretch. You could really get hurt. Maybe it might be fun instead of a home run derby, try to hit targets with the, you know, try to hit the ball the other way. That'd be fun. Or see how many targets a person could hit. That could be cool. But Rob's almost gone, so who cares?
So what do you think about Jose Canseco's idea? Like, he's floating it around on social media about a Legends home run derby. What would you think about something like that?
That'd be fun. I think you started talking about that last year, right?
Yeah. Everybody except A-Rod's invited. Because, you know, Jose, like, love it. Great follow on X. But that would be crazy. You know, that would be really cool to see if guys like Canseco and Griffey and, you know, Barry Bonds, Maguire, Sosa, like if they could still jack it out of the park. Like you don't need
I don't
to...
know. Yeah, I don't that
maybe
I don't know if I don't know if baseball would love the Sosa, the Bonzes, the Maguires, but then also that might be a way for them to come back.
Yeah.
That might be a way for you to get love back again.
It's going to be kind of tricky. Like it's going to be tricky cuz like who hasn't been tainted by the Mitchell report that you'd be willing to put out there? Because Canseco's open about it. So you're looking at guys like Griffey, like Mo Vaughn. Mo Vaughn would be interesting. I haven't seen Mo Vaughn in years. Mike Piazza, like that would be... Mike Piazza is in the... Never mind. Jason Giambi. Paul O'Neill. Like, I'm guessing here. I'm running out of guys. Ichiro. There we go. Just have Griffey versus Ichiro. And that's it.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. Air Care Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact Air Care Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547. We're moving on to the USA, the Olympics, Team USA basketball. Your boy, Kawhi Leonard's off the USA roster. KD is already banged up. And you kind of called the Z. You said you didn't see Kawhi lasting very long. I think you also said KD wouldn't last that long. You said Embiid wouldn't last that long. So what do you make of these injuries that have happened so far?
This is the price you pay This is the price you absolutely pay for having guys with checkered injury histories on your roster. Now, I know that Derek White has replaced Kawhi, and I know that you were pretty critical about that, but yeah, it changes the rotations. You know, it definitely, like, it'll move Jason Tatum up one. I think it'll move him up one spot, and it'll actually get him more playing time. So that's great. You know, Mr. Elite himself. So that's the thing. That's the risk you run.
Yeah, I am critical winning. Of that. Yeah. I am critical of that. I can't believe it. How is it that Tatum and White make the USA team, but the guy who was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the Finals MVP doesn't even get a phone call? What is that about?
You saw that, though. He gave the little eye emoji on X. He's like, really? That's very, yeah, it's very Jaylen Brown. I don't know.
I'm
with him on that. You know, and they had an opportunity to put on another point guard, and they chose not to do it. So, I mean, I guess LeBron will be the point guard when Drew Holiday's off. But, you know, because he was kind of dribbling. Yeah. He was dribbling and kicking to AD. And that my question was, okay, AD's out there. He's shooting threes. LeBron is the only guy in the paint. Who the hell's getting the rebound? I mean, LeBron's going to take on three Australians? Like, he's going to take on four Canadians? Where the fuck is everybody else?
Wow.
Everybody's just on the wings? Like, that doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. That system just does not work for me. If your big is out there shooting threes, somebody's ass better be down low crashing the boards. And fortunately for them, they do have some time to kind of work out the kinks here and, you know, commit a little bit more defensively. Now, maybe this is, you know, this is a product of them saving themselves. They had Canada and they had Australia. You know, part of me is inclined to think that, okay, like, we're trying not to get ourselves hurt before the Olympics. So we're going to play, like, super soft, and we're just going to rely on our naturally given talent to take us through. I mean, they almost lost to the, you know, the U.S. select team, for Christ's sake. They almost lost to a bunch of college kids.
Well, they played well today, though.
Yeah, it's fine, but they almost lost to a bunch of college kids. Like, you can't do that. You can't do... I don't care if Cooper Flagg is Jesus Christ. You can't lose to a bunch of college kids. You can't play them. You can't let them play close. The U.S. women's national soccer team played a high school soccer team, and they got blowed the fuck out. You can't have that. You just can't have that. It's a bad look. Now, against, you know, comparable competition, they're winning. Narrowly, but they're winning. It just proves to me that Steve Kerr has some shit to work on here. And I don't want to say I told you so to Grant Hill, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the angle is. You know, we also don't know. They might be working on certain things. They're trying to still figure out what the best roster is. So I wouldn't put too much into that. But the Kawhi thing, you know, I get it. Like, I get it, like, from the Clippers standpoint. It's like, and I get it from Grant Hill's standpoint. It's like, there's not going to be any load management in this run, dude. Like, you can't be taking days off. You can't be, you know, going at 80%. And you also need to be able to play again come September. So you've got to reevaluate, like, what's the most important thing. And I totally could see, like, a Joel Embiid and even a Kevin Durant just not being able to finish because of how demanding this is. And that's why I just think there needed to be more of a thought process in putting this team together, you know. And I'm also to blame for this because I said KD should be on the team. I said Embiid should be on the team. And I also said they should start. But at the same time, I think there just has to be an acknowledgement of how old they are, what their commitments are to their home team, their home club come October. And maybe there's a way for you to monitor how many minutes they're playing, or maybe there's a way to ensure that they're not getting overworked. But I mean, dude, if Kevin Durant's missing practices today, he's going to be missing practices in 10 days.
So my thing is this. Lawrence Frank came out and issued a statement today regarding the replacement of Kawhi Leonard. And he said, no, it was USAB's call, and quite frankly, I was quite frankly disappointed with the decision. Kawhi wanted to play. We wanted him to play. I was there the first two practices. He looked very good. Was a full participant in everything that he did. I wasn't there for the third practice, where ultimately that was the point where they decided to go in a different direction.
Well, now, I heard it was Grant Hill's decision.
I also heard that the Clippers were the ones who wanted to pull him out. So which story's true?
I'm not surprised.
So which story's true?
I believe the Clipper thing. Because if you're the Clippers, you're like, wait a minute, motherfucker. You're giving them 110% right now.
I'll cut your ass right now.
You haven't played in 3 months, motherfucker, and we just lost Paul George. Get your ass back here.
I will sue you for theft of services.
Get your ass back to L.A. because you're the guy next year. And we ain't getting anybody to fucking help you. So you better be ready to play 50 fucking games. I don't want to hear your knee is sore. You can't play. Nah, man. Go home and rest that shit. Ice up down, motherfucker.
So, yeah, like... Which report are we supposed to
be? Like, whoa, wait. Where do you mean it? Where is he playing? He hasn't played here in 3 months. He's going to go play there right now?
Oh,
get him on the phone.
He looks
get
great.
Out of there. He looks great. That's what I also heard. I heard he looked fantastic in USA practices.
Yo,
that's the best.
Yo, if you don't want to play for the Clippers, just tell them and they'll try and trade you. Like, that's the thing. If you don't want to play for them, it's okay. Paul George said, I don't want to play for them, and he's gone. He's in Philly. So... You know, you can definitely facilitate a trade if that's what you're looking for, if that's what you want to do. Or if you want to just be like Kyrie from a couple of years ago and just not play basketball, like that's, you know, that's your prerogative too. But you got to be like, you got to be upfront with this plan here, Kawhi. But I'm getting these conflicted mixed messages and I'm like, what is true? What are we being told here? You have the Lakers side, the Clippers side, Team USA basketball side, and the truth. And I'm not sure who to believe, but I'm assuming that it's a little from column A and a little from column B. But the bottom line is this: Kawhi is gone. They didn't give him a grace period, and frankly, you know, a guy with that bad of a knee doesn't deserve a grace period because you got to win now. Like, you have to be healthy and ready to go.
I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear about you being sore. I don't want to hear about needing to rest up. It's just like, I don't want to hear it. You either play or you don't play, man. It's fine. You got other players. It's all good.
We're all busy these days and wear a lot of hats, myself included. I'm a teacher, a podcast host, and a chef instructor. But there's one thing we all have in common. We all have to get dinner on the table. And if you need a little inspiration in the kitchen, check out As You Eat It, only on YouTube, hosted by me, Chef Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's A-Z, You Eat It, only on YouTube. Check it out, and let's get cooking.
We had some big soccer yesterday, and we had some big soccer this past week. The Uruguay players brawled with the Colombian fans in the stands after their Copa America semifinal loss. And then yesterday, after Argentina won the World Cup, they pretty much destroyed Hard Rock Stadium on their way out. So, Z, is the U.S. prepared to deal with this world in World Cup 2026 in America?
So these are two isolated instances. Everywhere else Copa America was played, there was not an incident. The first match in Atlanta, CONMEBOL was resistant to heed the advice of the stadium staff. And then second match, they adhered to the protocols that were put in place by the stadium staff. So it's one of those things that you need to be prepared, you need to be properly prepared for what's coming. And last night, it was very clear that CONMEBOL, not Hard Rock Stadium, CONMEBOL, who was putting the security in place, they were not prepared for this at all. Now, Hard Rock has hosted Super Bowls. It's hosted national championship games. It's hosted concerts. I believe it's hosted, you know, big time events. So, yeah, they know how to contain a crowd. They absolutely know how to do that. Now, it's up to the host, and in this case, it was CONMEBOL. Like, if that's what you're going to be doing, if that's how you're going to run the show, then yeah, this is going to be a shit show in 2 years. Thankfully, FIFA is the governing body. So FIFA is the one who's going to be in control. And, you know, we had Gil on, and he talked about what they put in place in Qatar. And, you know, I think it's going to be much better because a better governing body is going to be put in place. But what we saw was absolutely insane. And, you know, first and foremost, why are Uruguayan wives, girlfriends, and kids, why are their families not in a luxury box in Charlotte? How are you not protecting? How are they allowed to kind of mingle with general population, so to speak? You know, it's, you have Colombian supporters, not Colombian wives and girlfriends and families. You know, you just had regular old Joe Schmo Colombia fan in with the Uruguayan family section. That doesn't make any sense to me. And then last night, Argentina couldn't even get their families in because the place got bum rushed. Like, this is an absolute disgrace, and it falls firmly on CONMEBOL. They were the host. They take full responsibility, or at least they should. They're trying to blame Hard Rock. But no, like, that was a royal fuck up. And I think that FIFA is going to tighten the reins big time in 2026.
Yeah, I hope so. I think they also have to understand that you're getting a different type of fan at these games, right? You're getting people that are much more, have a lot more national pride, and the losses sting a lot more. You know, especially sure. When it comes to a rival, or when it comes to that, you don't get this opportunity every year, right? It's every 2 years or every 4 years. So I think the thing that needs to be understood here is that you've gotta have the right parameters in place. You've got to take the temperature of the situation quickly. And don't just think this is another soccer game, because it's not.
No, like, it was definitely ratcheted up. But you were absolutely right. Like, the club level and international level of play are two different animals completely. It's one of those things, though. You have to understand that the same way that you're a Ravens fan, right? You may wear Ravens gear, but you're not from Baltimore. Like, just because they're wearing Columbia kits doesn't necessarily make them Colombians. I think that needs to be kind of separated, you know, like, because people are very quick to condemn. Like, people are very quick to just, like, trash nations for their behavior on both sides. You know, people trashing the United States for what went down last night. People trashing Colombia for what happened last night. Nope. These are independent actors who may or may not be, you know, they may just be regular Joe Schmo people who like Colombia and wear a James kit. Like, that's just the way it is. You know, that's the nature of sports. But on the international level, like, it's way more intense. You're 100% right. And they need to be better prepared for next time. But
and you got to think, especially in the kind of some of the places they're going to be playing. I mean, I really didn't think Charlotte was ready. I didn't think Charlotte was ready when people started going into the stands.
No.
Where was security? Right. And I'll give more credit to the Meadowlands, or rather say, MetLife Stadium, because I think they will be ready once they have to host the World Cup final, because they've done WrestleManias. They've done a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They've held, you know, important playoff games there. They've done soccer there.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be a little bit more equipped. I think this is something for Atlanta to look at and just say, okay, we are, because they have a beautiful stadium, beautiful venue. If I go to the World Cup, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to go watch a game, because it's a beautiful stadium. I don't really care about being at the final. I don't need to be at the final in the swamps in Jersey.
We can't afford it anyway, man.
That's okay. I don't want to go. I'm not interested. But I'd love to go to Atlanta. I'd love to go watch down there. And I think this was a good test. and I think you move forward from here, and just understand there's a lot of national pride on the line here. It's not just a loss, and the loss was a bad one. It was a bad one because it came all the way down to the end. You know, it wasn't like anybody was prepared or getting ready. I mean, came all the way down to the wire. You know.
Yeah, I mean, the game is existing independent. The two matches are existing independent of the actions of the fans. And if anything, and this is going to sound weird, in a good way, this is the one positive I can take out of this is that, you know, if you're really thinking about it and you're thinking about it from a logistical standpoint and a security standpoint, now you know where your weaknesses are. Now you know, like, what could possibly happen. So you need to put together a security perimeter. You need to make sure that people aren't going through the fucking air ducts.
That was crazy.
They brought in friggin'. They hopped over a wall with a fucking ladder. Where'd you get a ladder, bro? Like, come on.
Love it.
And, you know, I saw on X last night that people, you know, they should have stopped playing the music. They should have stopped selling alcohol until shit was, you know, it was taken care of. But, you know, people were able to smuggle in full bottles of tequila. So it's like,
that's great.
It's like, dude, I'm like, you didn't scan for tickets. You didn't pass anybody through a metal detector. No wands. Like, they were able to get bottles of tequila in. Like, from a logistics and security standpoint, like, they now know the level of, you know, urgency that they need to treat this with. You probably need to have your security perimeter a couple miles away. You know, like, you need to give a lot of room. And you need to make sure that everything is shored up because, you know, Hard Rock got torn to shit last night. That the escalator was busted. Like, they finally got into the suites last night. I think they broke the glass windows that encase the suites. So, you know, it's something that hopefully FIFA and, you know, the U.S. Soccer Federation are looking at, because that's a definite weak point. That's a definite weak point for sure. But let's talk about the match. Let's actually talk about the soccer, because it was a good game. That's the thing. This is all, it's all getting marred and it's all getting washed away by all the crazy shit that
happened. Were good games.
Yeah. I mean, Euros were great. The Euros were very good. Unfortunately, like, you know, England, it's not coming home again. But, you know, at this point, they're probably used to that. But, you know, that was an even showing. And then into extras and Lautaro Martinez putting it away, you know, for Argentina. He's been the guy the entire tournament. He led the tournament in goals. So if anybody was going to step up while Messi was nursing his blowed up ankle, that was nasty. That was an absolute nasty injury. And, you know, right now, Inter Miami is probably like, what the fuck, man? You had one job, come back healthy. And in the championship match, your ankle blows up to the size of a softball. Like, that's a rough one. That's a rough one for the domestic club. But internationally, like, I'm sure he's flying on cloud nine. They all are right now in Argentina. But, yeah, it's one of those things that the incident definitely marred the football. But the football will once again become, it'll once again become front and center. And then it doesn't stop, man. Next month is the women's Euros, and then you have the Olympics, and then you're going to have, you know, it just keeps on going. Premier League starts up again in August, and the cycle just keeps on going. And that's kind of the nature of soccer.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstar's Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstar's Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstar's Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstar's Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event. Well, moving over to the WNBA, the Liberty ended Angel Reese's double-double streak. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I'm going to go little deal, just a little.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the standpoint of, you know, that the haters that the New York Liberty are for putting four people around Angel Reese so she couldn't score and get her 16th consecutive double-double. What were they mm-hmm. supposed to do? I'm sorry. What did Coach Edwards once say? Remind me. Maybe I'm getting old.
We play to win the game.
We play to win the game. We don't play to put up...
Hello?
We don't play to allow our opponents to put up stats against us. We don't stat pad. That's not what we do. That's not what we're here for. And if that's what you are here for, then you're not going to be here for very long. So it's a little deal from the standpoint that people are conflating this idea of the New York Liberty playing defense on somebody who was losing at the time, right? Who was trying to actively get their team back into the game. That's somehow hating on Angel Reese. No, that's not hating on Angel Reese. That's playing defense and trying to win the game. Now, kudos to Angel Reese. 15 consecutive double-doubles is impressive. It's a record. With that has come accusations of stat padding. So, there's something to be said for that. You know, we are old enough to remember when Ricky Davis shot at his own basket so he can get a rebound and get a triple-double. We're old enough to remember that. And it was Bush League then, and it would be Bush League now. Now, Angel Reese did not do that. Angel Reese was missing layups and getting rebounds. That's okay. You know, I don't believe for a second that she was intentionally missing those layups to get the rebounds to pad her stats so she can get the double-doubles. That's ludicrous. That's absolutely friggin' ludicrous. So it's a little deal from the standpoint of the absolute crucible that she exists under, that it's a little deal from the standpoint of the nonsense that we as sports fans, the nonsense that we are spewing nowadays. And it's a little deal from the standpoint that, you know, the fact that we have to dignify such things with a response. Because back in the day, we would have just kept on moving. She started another double-double streak. Now, she has the opportunity. You know, she can do it again. That's okay. Like, it would be like if, you know, Joe DiMaggio was walked four times and that's how his 56-game hitting streak was ended. Would you have called the Baltimore Orioles a hater for ending the streak that way? Would it be Bush League? Sure. But yeah, you would call it Bush League. But would you say that, oh, they're hating on Joe DiMaggio? No, that's just gamesmanship. And quadruple teaming Angel Reese was gamesmanship. Sorry.
I don't think they had an option. She's turned out to be a really good pro. And Caitlin Clark has come on lately too. I don't have a problem with what the Liberty did. They were trying to stop her, you know. I wouldn't equate it to the way you put it as, like, you know, if they decided to walk Joe DiMaggio. I would say it as if they put 10 extra players on the field to try to get the ball when Joe DiMaggio hit it. You know, that's more accurate. So no, I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think it's a little deal. I think it's showing the mark she's leaving on the game. You got a plan for her. She's a problem. She's effective. And she's easy to root for. She's easy to root against. And, you know, she's an exciting player. So I think it's fine. She'll start a new streak. She'll pad some more stats. I think she's got a chance to have a nice career in the NBA.
I mean, you figure that as of right now, she has to be the favorite over Caitlin Clark to be Rookie of the Year. She has to be. She's a more complete player.
I read a stat today that it seems like Caitlin Clark is on pace to break the rookie record for assists. That's pretty impressive.
That's solid. It's
especially on a bad, team.
And she's not particularly a good point guard either. Like, she's not really that great of a passer. So that's
she just passed Sue Bird. She's got like 194 assists. I think Sue Bird had 191.
Wow.
So she's going to break the record for, unless she doesn't play the rest of the season, she's definitely going to break the record for rookie assists.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what we hoped for when Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese got drafted this year in the WNBA. You hoped that it would become that level of rivalry, that they would become those level of players where it became like the female equivalent of Magic and Larry. Like, I'm not saying that they're there yet, where they're on one-name terms. But every great player needs a great foil. Magic was that for Larry, and Larry was that for Magic. Right? So they bring out the best in each other. And I think that, you know, in the beginning it was rough. You're trying to adjust to the WNBA style, and you're trying to acclimate yourself out of college where it's not, you know, everything was about you. You were the star of the team, and now now you're with grown ass women, and now you're the rookie. So water finds its level, and appears that both of them are finding their level, and this has the potential to be that level of rivalry for years to come. And I'm thankful for it. The sport needs it. Basketball in general needs it. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's good to get something that you can kind of follow in that regard, because it keeps your interest, and it's something deeper, and it's something a little bit more personal that you can resonate with. So we'll see where it goes. Angel Reese will probably start another double-double streak very, very soon. She plays the Liberty again. Maybe not tonight. Maybe the next one. Maybe next game. But she's a stud. Caitlin Clark is proving to be a stud, and the women's basketball game is better for it.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top-notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, Netflix's receiver will be better than quarterback.
I only watched the first episode, but my wife really isn't feeling it, so I'm going to go foul. And maybe that's just because I'm able to relate to the quarterbacks more than I can to the receivers. But I've only watched one episode so far, so I still think we need to watch at least one more to give it a chance. But so far, I'm going foul. I don't think the receiver will be better than the quarterback one.
I haven't watched any of it yet. I fully intend to. You've already lost the plot when you have George Kittle on here. You can have a whole show of tight ends. You can have a whole show dedicated just to a tight end.
All right, well, I will say about Kittle is he brings excitement and he brings personality. So I will say that about Kittle so far.
No, definitely. I mean, George Kittle's a very exciting, he's a charismatic guy. But you know what? You could have put Tyreek Hill in here. Like, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, you know, the problem with Mr. Hill is, you know, he's not the most stand-up person, Z. He's got a lot going on there. They were looking for a different character. I'll put it that way.
Well, let's put it this way. Like, we found out a lot about Davante Adams just in some of these clips. You know, yeah, I get that Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, isn't Aaron Rodgers, but dude was throwing Jimmy G under the bus, and he's like, he couldn't wait to get the fuck out of here. So it like Netflix's show reignited the Davante Adams to the Jets trade rumor. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous to me.
Yeah, they were talking a lot about that on the radio yesterday. You know, I still don't understand why anybody thinks that the shit didn't work in Green Bay. Why the fuck is it going to work in Secaucus? Like, I don't understand what makes you think that it didn't work in Green Bay, but it's going to work here. Like, let it go. And Aaron even said it after I guess he was on some golf tour or he was on his little vacation. And he said something, well, I can't wait to play with Davante Adams again. It's like, dude, why would you say that?
Because
like,
he's a troll. Aaron Rodgers is a fucking troll.
Something like that. And you got Garrett Wilson, and Garrett Wilson, if I'm him, I'm like, man.
Right.
The guy better not come here, man. Like, you know, he revamping this whole team for this guy. Like, come on, man. Because then it really, really comes down to, dude, are you playing every game? You have to play every game.
Right.
And Davante is great. I'm not saying Davante is not great. All I'm trying to say is it didn't work in Green Bay. Why is it going to work here? What does the Meadowlands have, or what does MetLife Stadium have other than worse turf than Green Bay? Like, come on. Like, let it go. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen.
It's ridiculous. Like, Davante Adams showed he's a bad teammate. Like, yeah, he overthrew you. Boo freaking who. You be there for your quarterback when you need him. Like, that's the whole point of it. You were there for Rodgers. Try being there for Jimmy G instead of getting frustrated and said, get me the fuck out of here. Slamming your helmet. Like, that's not what good teammates do. You know, that is the stereotypical diva wide receiver that the NFL has been trying to kind of distance themselves from. So I think that Mr. Adams kind of showed who he is a little bit. And you know what? Tyreek Hill on the Dolphins, just at the stadium, I think that would have been pretty damn entertaining. I think that would have been something here. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's young. He's interesting. Debo is...
His is interesting. It's interesting to see, you know, his mother's German. He speaks fluent German. Yeah. I think he speaks actually a couple of languages. His dad is a former, I think, 2 or 3-time Mr. Universe. He has a thing where he catches 200 balls off the jugs machine a day, or 201 or 202. The one thing I'll say watching him is that he's very muscular.
Right.
And it kind of explains why he gets... I don't want to say, you know, put him down or anything, but it kind of explains why he gets hurt. You know, you've got a lot of hard tissue. You're very tight. You're very wound up, and those things rip. They tear. So it kind of makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
He tore his oblique off the bone.
Oh.
I strained my oblique 2 days ago and I'm still in pain. I strained it. I just strained it. You tore it off the bone. I can't imagine playing a football game like that. I can't even play a football game now. No. I can't stand up and sit down with my oblique the way it is right
now.
Well,
I mean, that's the thing. For guys like St. Brown, guys like DK Metcalf, they really are physical specimens and marvels in that they're able to take the beating that they take. Because it's a very physical sport, and muscle provides no padding. Like, being that muscular, it provides absolutely no padding. So, you know, it's one of those things that you definitely, you know, need to be concerned about as you move forward. But, you know, he's an interesting cat. He's definitely an interesting cat. Like, Debo. I mean, Debo is very interesting, actually, you know, because of what's going on kind of on the periphery in San Francisco, right? You got the Ayuk thing. You got Debo. You got... Where does Debo fit into the Shanahan offense? He doesn't want to be a running back. You know, not going to play him out of the backfield. The contract. There's a lot of stuff there. Debo's a season unto himself. And then you have Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson really doesn't do anything for me. He just doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry. Like, personality-wise, like, he does the gritty. Whoop-de-fucking-do. I teach middle schoolers. They do the gritty too. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going to grasp on to him for. Like, what am I going to do? I don't know. I got to say, it's foul right now because I haven't seen it. Hopefully it sucks me in. But right now, foul. Completely.
Yeah,
foul.
Me too. I hope it gets better, but I just... Quarterback, you know, I don't know. I just was able to relate to them more, having to learn a playbook, having to call the plays, having to be a family man, taking all those hits, the audibles, learning the playbook, learning the calls, learning all the different positions on the field and what everybody's supposed to be doing, being a leader, being the voice in the huddle. There's just more for me to relate to than the guy who's going to catch the ball.
Completely. And, it's a dependent position at the end of the day. So I completely agree. Now, they still have time. They still have time to grab us. But right now, not so much. Fair or foul number 2, professional wrestling should be an Olympic sport.
Yeah, so this comes on the heels of Chris Jericho going on a podcast saying that he's lobbying for it to be an Olympic sport. And I kind of got to get on the page. I'm going to say fair. I thought he brought up good points in talking about it being almost like a dance, like a routine. Where, you know, it's, of course, it's kind of, you know, pre-orchestrated, but you're going to put on the best show. So the question is how long is this show? Is it 8 minutes to 12 minutes? You know, and you see the best moves, you see the best, like, image, and it gets a rating. I think it should be rated on a scale of 10. And I think I like it. I like the idea. Like, just like, you know, figure skating, just like the floor routines, it's literally something different every time. You can come up with a million different matches, and I think people should be able to represent their country, and you can have a choreographer and 2 wrestlers, and then we talked about in the production meeting, then what's the ending going to be? You know, is it a submission? Is it a pinfall? Is it a count out? Is it disqualification? Is it the referee's out? You know, and you can really make fun. I think it'd make for good entertainment. Angle.
I'm not going to lie. I would lose my shit if that happened. If Kurt Angle somehow end up out there. But I got to go foul.
He's a bit of a lunatic right now, that guy.
Oh, Kurt Angle's the man. He's off the perks. And he's actually, like, he's building his life back together. Good for you, Kurt. We'd love to have you on the show. You know, we could talk about the time you won the Olympic medal with a broken freaking neck. And you didn't wrestle guys like Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Freaking Sheik. So there's something to be said about that. But I got to go foul. Chris Jericho used to be one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit. So that tells you a lot about me. But Jericho in recent years has kind of gone off the deep end. Like, he really had, in terms of what he considers good, what he considers quality, I'm not with him on that. And, you know, like I said in the production meeting to you, there's too many variables. Who's booking it? Like, who's booking it? Like, that's the thing. And it's like, you know, the whole idea of the Olympics is that it's supposed to be on the up and up. Now, I understand that we're comparing it to gymnastics and women's figure skating and you know, pairs figure skating and stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, those are legitimate sports. Like, this is paid choreography. It is, you know, simulated combat. Now, if you were going to tell me mixed martial arts, if you were going to tell me, like, the true, like, Octagon, UFC, we're going to get an Olympic team together, we're going to get a Team USA versus, you know, the world. Like, okay, now you got me. Because, you know, mixed martial arts is legitimate competition. They're trying to beat the shit out of each other. They're trying to, you know, it is real. It is as real can get. So that's where I kind of draw the line. You know, that would be amazing if we could see, like, and we do. On a routine basis, we see the best of the best compete in the Octagon for that medal, but now they would be doing it under the flag. So that would be kind of cool. And there's too many variables with professional wrestling. Like you said, like, it's, you know, oh, it's going to be a pinfall. It's going to be a submission. It's going to be a time limit draw. It's going to be, you know, somebody's going to run into the Olympics with a steel chair and DDT somebody on that steel chair. You know, it's going to be, it'll be a farce. It'll be an absolute farce.
Pete Alonso does not advance.
Why am I not surprised? You know, and to be frank, it's better for it. Now we can rest. Save it for when we actually need you to hit home runs. But, you know, it's a little bit of that performance, but it takes two people in a simulated combat. It's not the same thing as when you're trying to. It's not the same thing as when you're trying to dance, you know, unless what you're doing is, you know, and maybe you're just doing an American and an American, right? Your wrestling match is an American versus an American, and that's Team America, and then Japan versus Japan, that's Team Japan. And then so on and so forth. Maybe if you were going to do it in that regard, but you couldn't, I don't think you could mix countries. I don't think you can have an American take on a Canadian.
No. You would be like the American team, the Canadian team, the Russian team. Like, you, it would be, and you're just trying to get the highest score. Like, just like in figure skating, yeah. Just trying to get the highest score.
Because then the professional wrestling aspect of it, right, is that I expect a Canadian to come in there with a steel chair and knock out both Americans. Like, fuck you. There you go. Yeah, we win.
He kicked out.
Oh, my God.
But, hellfire and brimstone. Here comes Kane.
I mean, it would, if anybody could have pulled this off, it's Angle and probably Bret Hart. Like, those are the two guys who could have done.
You're talking about just people that are still alive, or are you talking about, like...
No, but I mean, legit, like, from our era of professional wrestling. I'm not talking about, like, Hack and Schmidt. I'm not talking about...
Mr. Perfect could have done it. he was definitely athletic enough. Eddie Guerrero definitely could have done it.
But in terms of
Chris Benoit could have really done it.
In terms of
Chris Jericho, Jericho could have put on a good show too, man.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Like Angle and Benoit and Bret Hart, they made it look as real and as snug as possible. Like, you put them...
I'm talking about putting on a good show. Putting on a good show. Like,
but what constitutes a good show is the question. Because, you know, it's relative. It really is relative. Because, like, you know, different countries and different styles of wrestling, right? Do you prefer the free, you know, do you prefer the high-flying, like, Lucha Libre style? Are you going to go Japanese strong style where they just beat the shit out of each other? Do you want to
that's
see?
Crazy.
Yeah, like Japanese
is crazy.
Their careers are short.
That's up to a judge, right? It's up to a judge. What did you enjoy watching?
Yeah.
What was more entertaining to you?
So
everybody has their different styles. Has their different finishes. Yeah. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And you could be graded on all those things. You could be graded on finishes. You could be graded on technique. You could grade it on 100 in the overall match. You know, there could be different categories that you're graded in.
It's a far cry from Rulon Gardner. It's a far cry from Gable Steveson or Alexander Carolin or any of these guys. Like, it's wild. Like, that's... It wouldn't be
Ricky
from...
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
A good show.
Oh, my... I would have loved to see Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan. There you go. The two... Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Somebody, like, very pro-American.
Oh! Oh! What's up with this guy? Why does he keep saying, oh?
That's all he's got. He's just pointing around.
What's with the 2x4?
That's right, tough guy. Fair or foul number 3, Jalen
Brunson. Wait, before you go.
What?
How about the first Olympic match would be Doink the Clown versus Razor Ramon?
Oh, my God.
People would be like, what the fuck am I watching right now?
What is this?
Where's this guy from? Is he from Miami? Is he from Puerto Rico? What's with the accent and the toothpick? Why is this guy dressed like a clown? Why does he look so scary?
I don't understand what's happening right now.
He's a clown. What is happening here?
What is going on?
He throws his toothpick at him? That's disgusting.
Did that clown just pull his arm off? Is he beating the man with his own arm? What's going on here? Man, 1993 was wild. Just the 1993 gimmicks. Put them in the Olympics for pro wrestling. Let's just do that. Maybe Hakushi. Yeah, Hakushi will represent for Japan. There we go. That's a great idea.
Hakushi.
Maybe they can get Taka Michinoku. There we go. We're on to something here. Now we're starting to get it. Now, and if Vince Russo's booking, it's going to be insane. Fair or foul number 3, Jalen Brunson taking less on his contract extension.
I mean, it's okay. He's taking a page out of Brady's book. He's hoping, like, management can, you know, put a good team around him. So I would say it's fair. It's very nice of him. Especially in today's NBA. I guess he understands it. Like, you know, a lot of people are out there for themselves, and he realizes it's going to take more than just him to win a championship.
I mean, it's definitely fair, but one guy I'm sure who's questioning the timing of this is Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, bro, if you took less money last time, I would have gotten paid and I could have stayed. I'm just saying. But no, it's completely fair. It's strategic.
No, I don't. But see, I don't think they could have paid him. Like, I don't think they couldn't. Like, they wouldn't have been able to give him what he's getting. No, there's no way. He had to go, and it's good for him. He's gonna do very well
financially. And it's great for him.
It's great. It's fantastic for him
financially. It's great.
Everything is much better. Taxes are much better there. Everything's he did well for himself. He did everything he needed to do here to get the contract he got. Onward and upward, my friend.
Well, same thing for the Knicks too, because they have a much better team now. So it's one of those things that
I wouldn't say they're much better.
They are much better. They have a three. They have a good 3-and-D core, and that's what you need in the league. So they need one more big, and I think they'll be better. But having this financial flexibility helps them get that big. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where this makes it really fair, and it's smart. Because look at the contracts that were signed in the offseason. right? Mm-hmm. Look at Paul George, taking a shit ton of money.
That guy.
Cade Cunningham, taking up 30% of the god-awful Detroit Pistons payroll. Why?
I mean, Tobias Harris going to kill
Tobias Harris?
Year.
Yeah. Oh, Tobias Harris. Yeah. Sure. Okay. The Detroit Pistons are a lost cause. I'm sorry. But how many more times are we going to have to deal with that? And they're going to run it back again, and they'll fire another coach, and then they'll fire another GM, and just they're spinning their wheels. Pistons are spinning their wheels, no pun intended. But this gives them the Knicks the flexibility to go out and get the big they need to get in order to contend. So I think that it's absolutely fair. The hometown discount and the idea of playing with the Cats and putting this core together, it's playing. It plays really well. So I think that they are well positioned, and Jalen Brunson has done the smart thing to make sure that their window stays open longer. So eventually these deals come and they come to crash down on organizations. Either they have to turn around and deal the player, or they're just stuck in hell and just wait for the contract to kind of expire so that they can move on. Now, Jalen Brunson recognizes that this team is on the precipice of something big, and he is making sure that they can do it. And kudos to Leon Rose for putting a fair number for him that he agreed to. Now, what I disagree with is people on social media saying how he fumbled the bag. He values winning more than money. So I think there's something to be said about that. Like, Tom Brady had a supermodel bringing in money, right? So, you know, Tom Brady was the secondary breadwinner in his home. Let's be real here. Tom Brady was like, we're going out to eat money. Like, that's what we're doing here. That's Tom Brady's couch cushion money in his household. So he valued winning more than that financial security. Jalen Brunson is also like that. And that's important. And that's going to keep the window open wider. It's going to keep the window open longer. And that's going to lead to the eventual championship coming home to Madison Square Garden. You can mark that down. It's coming at some point in the very near future. And these moves that Leon Rose and Jalen Brunson are signing off on, they're the catalysts for it.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
Brasil. Narrowly beating out Trent Grisham and Aaron Boone. Lots of Brazil haters out there. Interesting. Well, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And sometimes when you're the man, like, people enjoy when you go down. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
Oh, here we go. This is going to become a recurring dream or a recurring theme here. First up, I've got Bronny James.
Oh, shit.
In an interview after a 99-80 loss to the Rockets in Summer League, you said you would welcome any assignment in your first season in the NBA. I'm just looking forward to any basketball I can play, no matter what level I'm playing at. What? You had that chance, asshole. You should have stayed in college, dingus. That was basketball. In the NBA, it will be called Mr. DNB. That's going to be your nickname, Mr. DNB. And the G League is not competitive. College basketball is better than the G League. Ask Mark Cuban. Your line in the game where the Lakers lost by 19 was 8 points, 3 for 14, 0 for 8 from 3 with 3 turnovers.
Yikes.
Overall, this is how your summer league's going. You're 6 for 26. You're shooting 23% from the field. You're 0 for 12 from 3. Maybe we should stop shooting threes. Maybe threes just isn't your thing, Bronny James. Then you went on to say that you were in a slump. A slump? This is what you are, asshole. This is your average. You score 6 to 8 points a game. You fumble the ball all over the court. This is what you are. It's not a bad thing. It's fine. It just, you need fine tuning. One scout said you need to work on your short range game, work on your long range game, work on your dribbling, work on your controlling the basketball, bulk up, get stronger. You just need to be better, dude. The whole scouting report is you need to get better. So, Bronny James, you are my alleged superstar of the week.
The mid-range game is fine, though. He did not mention the mid-range game. He's okay.
Number two, I've got your buddy Clay Holmes. So, you hit a guy on Friday, which incited a riot, which both benches cleared in the Orioles-Yankees game. Then on Sunday, you started walking people and you gave up runs to help the Yankees lose in the ninth inning. Clay Holmes, Mr. All-Star, you're going to be Mr. DNP soon too. You need to get your shit together. Clay Holmes, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And I'm going to go with Jokic as my Joker. Jokic? What's his name?
Novak Djokovic.
Djokovic. That's my alleged superstar at number three. You lost in straight sets to Alcaraz, the 19-year-old. Sounds like your time is done as being probably the best tennis player of our time. So Novak Djokovic, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Those are all great choices.
And I'm not trying to pick on LeBron's son. Somebody.
There's nothing. I don't see how you can say that you're not picking on him, but you know what?
I'm not picking on him because it's just I'm saying true things. I'm just highlighting facts.
You're not wrong. I mean, Mr. DNP, that's going to be his career, and he's a mediocre player at best. But you're right. Where are you going to get better? College. It was either college or international play.
Which I actually probably would have been on board with. I'd have been fine if he was like, I don't want to go play at USC anymore. I'm going to go to Australia, or I'm going to go to Italy, or I'm going to go to China. I think I would be on board with that.
Yeah.
But, dude, you're gonna go... You'd rather play in the G League than play for USC?
Don't threaten me with a good time, man. Don't threaten me with a good time. Go to Australia.
You're going to be playing at the Westchester County Center against the Westchester Knicks, as opposed to playing, I don't know, against Oregon, against Arizona. Like, what?
Averaging 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and getting laughed off the court. Absolutely. Now, as far as Clay Holmes,
just gets in control before he kills somebody.
That's all you need to know about Clay Holmes. So he is clearly pitching his way out of the closer role, and he's fucking up royally. But hey, he's an all-star. So I'm going to start with Commie Ball. What a shit show this past week has been. multiple security issues. Hard Rock Stadium is destroyed. You have the Argentinian families unable to get into the stadium. You have the Uruguayan families surrounded by Colombian fans. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria. So, you gotta do better. You have, you know, FIFA has the World Cup in 2 years. They're gonna show you how it's done. They're gonna show you how it's done. But you need to figure out Copa America. You gotta figure out how to be better. So, CONMEBOL, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Greg Berhalter. Yeah. So, lost in Copa America. Got sacked. And rightfully so. Greg Berhalter has not done a good job, especially after he got fired the first time after losing in Qatar, and then subsequently rehired because they couldn't find anybody else to take the job. So, yeah, there's that. And the announcement that he got fired was actually liked by players that were on the team.
That's pretty funny.
Joe Scally and Gio Reyna were notable likes. And Gio Reyna, I understand, he's in the center of all this, but Joe Scally, what the fuck are you doing, man? You just pretty much guaranteed that you're not going to be on the Olympic roster or the World Cup roster. Fuck. So, yeah, Greg Berhalter, you're at the center of this. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, Wander Franco. That's bad. Finally being brought to justice, charged with sexual assault and misconduct in Dominican Republic. Good. So, from what we've been reading is true, grooming a 14-year-old? No, that's some sick shit right there. And the justice is coming, and you're going to get what you deserve, sir. So, Wander Franco, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And an honorable mention to end on a note of levity, Jonnu Smith. So Jonnu Smith is in Miami now, and he is taken to hating all things Buffalo. He hates the Buffalo Bills, he hates their coach, he hates Bills Mafia, and he hates Buffalo Wings.
What? Why?
He's taking unnecessary shots at Buffalo Wings, saying that they're overrated and that they're not good in Buffalo.
But why?
I don't know. I don't know. So, but there's no reason for the anchor bar to be catching strays at this point. It makes absolutely no sense. So say what you will about the Bills. Say what you will about Bills Mafia, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. Wait, leave the Wings out of this. What did the Wings do to you? The Wings didn't do anything to you, Jonnu. Now you're just trying to be a dick. Jonnu Smith, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, or go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoute Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.